Terry McLaurin has reported, and we're very happy about that. He'll start the training camp on PUP for his ankle. So on the business side, AP and the guys are still working hard with Terry and his rep on the business side of things. So while on PUP, just like we do with, you know, the other guys, he'll be working with the trainers, you know, to get back as soon as he can.
I just can't with the questions about the ankle. After that, there was like, when did he hurt the ankle? How serious is the injury? How's Terry's ankle doing? And we're going to keep doing that. And you kind of have to some extent. Like, someone has to bite that bullet.
I just hate playing pretend on anything.
I do not have the energy.
I just don't, man.
Grant and Danny, brought to you by the law firm Condori and Murad. They will take care of your family's assets. The exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm Condori and Murad, will help you to draft a will, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. I was at training camp today, and in fact, a listener had shouted over to say hello, whatever, so I went over and was talking to them. And they said, "How are Condori and Murad doing?"
Oh, is that right?
They're doing well. I don't think they know anything about them other than that we talk about them all the time.
Uh-huh.
Who knows? Maybe they did business with them. And yeah, so very, very cool that someone's listening enough to know that those are our guys.
Love to see it.
I want to hit the phones here in a moment at 800-636-1067. We've got breaking wide receiver news. A receiver the exact same age as Terry, who's a multi-time 1,000-yard guy, who had the McLaurin-esque numbers one season ago this past year. The 80 catch, 1,000 yard a year. Cortland Sutton, who's been a Pro Bowler, just got $23 million a year. And while Terry's a better player, more productive, more durable, it does feel like that's a little bit damaging to his quest to do better than DK Metcalf, who's younger and makes $32.5 million. You're talking about a $10 million gap in APY average per year. And I know everyone says, well, the big number is guaranteed money. Yeah, no kidding. But the guaranteed money comes from an NAAV when you start to break it all down.
Yeah, it's a great comp. And it should be much easier now, right? Where you go, here's the range. 23 is too low. I think everyone agrees to that. What we've been saying, I'm just making this up. Again, we don't really know. We've got Adam Schefter's gut feel that it's more than DK Metcalf. Like, we're not really sure what the numbers are. To credit to both the parties for not leaking that stuff out. But it's not 23 and it's not 32.5. Somewhere in the middle is where this thing probably should settle. That's a great data point. He's better than Cortland Sutton, and there's no need for us to overpay like Pittsburgh just did for DK Metcalf, who's around as productive as you, but a couple years younger. Like, that seems like a pretty good settling point. So I don't think this is a good moment here for McCorn and his agent.
We're live in Richmond right now on AM 910, FM 105.1. Let's go to Tyler, who is in the capital of Virginia. What's up, buddy? How are you?
What's up, Grant? How you doing, buddy?
I'm well, thank you.
Hey, at this point, if I were Terry, I would play out the existing contract and then hit free agency in 2026 and see what you can get. Because if you truly believe that you're worth $33 million, hit free agency when you have all the leverage and see what you can get.
So here's the problem with that. You're right. It's very much a possibility. Number one, he's 1 year older next year. It gets so much harder for him to get what he's looking for with every passing season. The Commanders have already decided, and to some extent the market has already decided in the case of some other guys like Mike Evans or what have you, that at that age as a wide receiver, he can't get paid at 29. How's he going to get paid at 30? I mean, it is a huge difference. He'll be on the precipice of 31 years old a year from now trying to get a deal done. So that's not the number one issue with that philosophy. Number two, what if you get hurt? You go out there and, God willing, none of this happens, all right? But this is just, these are the things him and his agent are talking about.
Yeah, it's
these
football,
are the things
dude.
The team's talking about. A serious injury, an Achilles, an ACL, something crazy happens. And now, like, ask Cousins, happened to him in a contract year, essentially. And next thing you know, the Vikings are drafting a quarterback and whatever else is happening. Now, somehow, some way, he still got $100 million from the Falcons, which that's kind of wild to think about.
Yeah.
But what if you get hurt? You can kiss ever getting a huge contract goodbye if you're Terry McLaurin at a position where you absolutely could in a sport where that happens pretty frequently. And then lastly, Danny, what if you get tagged? This notion that you could just go to market next year and get your $60 million guaranteed or whatever, maybe, or you get tagged. Now, There's a lot of worse thing that could happen than getting tagged at 1 year and $30 million. But that is probably your final payday because now you're 31 and you're signing like a two-year deal for $40 million where only a season is guaranteed. So you're talking about like $50 million in the next couple of years if you get tagged, probably, as opposed to this contract where you can do a lot better than that over the next 3 or 4 years. So from a business standpoint, getting paid now is his shot at really having one more huge bite at the
apple. It's his best one. And again, it's from the team's perspective. Not necessarily I'm advocating for it, but this is me saying, okay, I can think along with you here, where I would go, we're not inclined to go well above the franchise tag for the next season or two because that's an option for us. We have you this year at around 23. Next year, again, according to what smart people are writing, it's going to be around 28 or 29 for receivers. We would do that, and then you want to go into free agency at age 33? If that's what you want, God bless you on the wide receiver open market. Or you can come sit down and look at what we've got for you here.
The tag is 30 mil, right, next year?
So I've read 28 or 29.
Okay.
So it could be 30.
Maybe I'm rounding up. I think he would sign for $30 million right now.
Do you?
I do. Maybe not right now. Maybe we haven't gotten to the final minute yet that it needs to get to. But I think before the season, he will sign. You know, would sign around $30 million a year if that's their break glass in case of emergency. What I believe is right now he's asking for 33, 34, something like that. And they're offering 26-ish, 25 change, whatever. And I think in the middle at 30 is probably where this thing should get done. If you're telling me, you know, 27 is reasonable, I agree. 33 is an overpay, but you're willing to do that. I also agree with that. Like a few million dollars here or there before you pay your quarterback, while you have the money to front load a contract, should not be a sticking point and is not worth whatever all of this is, in my opinion, with quite literally the guy that's meant the most to your team over the last 7 years. Let's go to Vince and Akakeek on the Fan. Hey, Vince.
What's up, guys?
Hey, buddy.
So, I'm a numbers guy, but I'm a numbers guy in the real world. I'm not clearly not an NFL GM. In my mind, I think the 25 that the team, do you guys think the team wants to offer, I think is very doable if we add one word to the contract, which the NFL seems to be totally scared of. It's fully guaranteed. In my mind, I don't see Terry walking away from $25 million a season fully guaranteed, whether it's 3 years or 4 years. So $75 million fully guaranteed, 4 years, $100 million fully guaranteed.
Well, Vince, the team would never do that.
Right. But so, and this is what I'm very confused on, basically with the cap jumping. But if the thing is we don't want your number to be AVV at the 30s, that keeps the team under 30. That gives Terry the money he wants, the years he wants. I don't see how that deal doesn't work. But like I said, I'm a numbers guy in my world. I'm not a GM. I think it's too complicated and it shouldn't be that hard. But that's just my thought process.
Thank you, buddy. Yeah. Appreciate you.
Yeah, Smoltz, you're cooking there.
Yes, we see this in baseball where they have guaranteed contracts. You can get paid more for a couple of years or less over many years to spread it out. Football is very, very different. But the team would not give him 3 years of a fully guaranteed contract because they're going to want to be able to get out of a deal in 2 years, essentially. DK Metcalf's guaranteed number of $60 million is what he and his agent are hunting to do better than. The team probably doesn't want to be anywhere near that because they look at DK Metcalf's $60 million in guarantees and they say, yeah, but they guaranteed a guy who has a lot more football ahead of him that money. He's 27, going to be 28 this year. He's 2 full years plus younger than Terry McLaurin. Now, McLaurin's agent, Buddy Baker, would turn around and say, didn't play his first couple years at Ohio State. He was an older rookie. Look at, and I know this is how they're viewing this. They're viewing this as, look, don't look at guys that got paid at his age. Look at guys that got paid in year 8, 9, and 10. I don't care what Mike Evans made, you know, at 30, whatever.
Uh-huh.
What did he make in his 8th, 9th, and 10th seasons? Go back and find the 8th year of a wide receiver who was a true number one, who put up numbers, because they're going to say Terry's not declining. He didn't show any decline last year. And for them, it's about experience, not age. For the team, it's about age. That's all that, you know, I don't want to say all they care about, but that is what they keep coming back to over and over again.
Uh-huh.
And McLaurin's side is going, experience. Yeah, he's old because he was an old rookie, but he does not have the mileage of those cars. He sat in You know, there was an old lady that drove him to the grocery store once a week for 4 years.
One of those dream scenarios on the Carfax.
There is no odometer problem here. Shane in Virginia. What's up, man?
Listen.
Shane, what's happening?
Hey, sorry, guys. That's my boy. Hey, Commander Danny Grant. Hey,
buddy.
Even my son's saying this is not good for Terry. And he's 5, right? Look, I think this is Terry's last year in Washington. I really do. There's no way he's going to accept anything. Hell, he's making more than that now, right? So, but do we give him 35, 36 million a year? I mean, this is a tough situation for the Commanders.
Let me answer that, because that one's easy. Absolutely not. I'm not paying him 35 or 36 million.
I would agree with that. Thank you, Grant, for saying that. Yes, I am not paying him $36 million a year at 30 years old, call it 31 years old, when his contract starts. They start declining. I can get a third-round receiver in the league right now at a great cost. And plus, look, here's the thing. We got to start building up that defense. I keep saying and saying and saying it. You can score a million points a game, but if somebody scores a million and one, you get beat every time. The secondary, I agree with you, Grant, the secondary right now is looking pretty damn good. I'm actually shocked in the secondary. I saw them out there a couple of days ago. They're long, they're athletic, and that Amos is going to be a dude. I'm telling you, so he's going to be a baller.
Yeah, he can play.
Appreciate
you. This is where you would think their coaching should make a big impact. Dan Quinn, long
there's a track record there.
Secondary coach with the Legion of Boom and beyond. Joe Witt has done that many stops as well. They've got a very, very good coaching staff in that area. Just looking at the numbers, McLaurin has played one fewer game in his career than Courtland Sutton because Sutton's been in the league a little bit longer. McLaurin has 1,000 more yards. And so the productivity is a non-starter. Like, nobody would look at this. I would think Adam Peters, Lance Newmark, anybody else, would look at these two and go, well, Sutton made this, so McLaurin shouldn't make more than him. But, man, you just can't tell me that $23 million isn't a kick to the you-know-what for McLaurin and the agent. You're asking, we're told from Schefter today, for more than $33 million a year, and a guy your age at your position who's his team's number one wide receiver just got $23 million a year. I want to know what the guarantees are for that deal, by the way.
I do, too. I'd be anxious to see that.
Because the guarantee is the most important number here. AAV is easier to talk about, deal with, and it's also where the guarantee comes from, largely. Or they go hand in hand, essentially. But I would imagine, with a guy like Sutton, that he would have gotten somewhere around $40 million in guarantees. Close to 2 full years of his deal guaranteed, but maybe not completely. And they could then get out of him in the third year without having to pay a whole lot of money. That's what I would assume. That's very much what Washington would like to do, I'd imagine, with McLaurin because of the fear that he's about to hit a wall based on age. Let's go to Saeed in Upper Marlboro on the Fan. Saeed, we're talking McLaurin after this Sutton deal that could complicate things.
Yeah. And so I had a couple things. The first, and I'll try to be very quick. The first is, so far, Adam Peters and this group in the front office hasn't shown a single instance where information has leaked from them to anybody. They have run a very airtight situation. So I have to believe, because Adam Schefter is talking about what Terry wants, I have to believe that's 100% his opinion. That's not somebody who felt like Schefter was a guy they needed to leak information to. And then the second thing is, why isn't there, if Terry believes, and I know I'm oversimplifying this, but if Terry believes that I'm younger than you know, in terms of my body, I take care of my body, there's nothing to worry about, why can't they then say, all right, fine, we'll sign you to X amount, let's say it's $30 million, $29 million, whatever it is, and we'll build in escalators like we do with all the other people that once they hit 30 years old, and then we will pay you incentives based on playing time, based on how healthy you are, based on your statistics, like they do for a lot of the other 30-year-old players.
Because players and agents don't like it.
I love that. Players don't.
Because I owe you, because I'm Terry McLaurin, if you're not throwing me the ball in the red zone, I can't hit my touchdown escalator. I don't control it. I want to control my money. I want to control what I can make. You know, Danny gets a lot of money every time he does an appearance. If they don't give him any appearances, doesn't matter very much, does it?
Right.
You know, well, we'll do this. You know, we'll give you money every time you do this, but then we won't offer you the opportunity to do that. Like, that's great when you put the pen to paper, but that doesn't mean you... I don't get to dictate how many of those opportunities I get. And so, would that be perfect? My mom's always said this. This is how sports should be. Like, base salary for everyone, and then you hit... Based on your productivity, you get money. If there were no CBAs, if there were no already negotiated in deals between unions and leagues, you could start over and do that. It would be a meritocracy.
Well, but can you imagine, though, like, you know, a running back between the 20s then gets pulled and some, you know, Gerald Riggs, like, goal line vulture comes in and takes his touchdown and costs the guy like $1 million in incentives? It'd be chaos. Guys would be at each other's throats.
True. Yeah. I've half expected Terry to get wheeled down to the practice field. Like wheelchair style. I just saw someone send a funny picture of looks like Kevin Nash, like in a wheelchair or something like that. Yeah. Like, what if, you know, Terry just walked down to the field with a big, heavy limp? My kid was doing that today. I don't know why. He was like, he got into my bed at like 5 a.m. He's like, I think I broke my leg, my 4-year-old. And I'm like, what do you mean?
Did you walk from your bed to
and
mine?
He's like, it's broken. And I'm like, well, what'd you do to it? You might have slept on it funny. He's like, well, how do you know it's not broken? I said, because you're not limping. And then he proceeded to like, oh, and he got out of bed, and then he dragged his legs behind him all the way out of my room as if he was like some like cat who'd been bitten by a rabid animal and lost the use of its legs.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, what's the matter, buddy? And he's like, my legs don't work.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, okay. Right. So I like, got to the point like an hour later when he was still in character where I told my wife, like, let's monitor his leg here, see if anything's actually wrong.
See, yeah.
But Terry should have done that where he just like army crawled down to the practice field or used crutches or something.
My, we're at the beach. My niece lost a race, which happens.
Oh, no.
And well, yeah, which was tough. And then she said her ankle was bothering her, which is ironic because of the same day that Terry's ankle was bothering him. And I was like, which one? I didn't know this was something that she did. And before, her mom was like, yeah, she kind of does that. And it's fine. Just don't worry about it. But I said, which ankle is it? And she's like, it's this one. It just really hurts. And like, I don't think I can run. And a few minutes later, it was the other ankle. She forgot which ankle she was bothering her. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like, so she's like, oh, my ankle. And it's like, which one was it again? It's like this one. Yeah. But it was the other one.
Well, I told my wife, I'm like, he's saying it's the right.
Yeah.
So if he's favoring the left, we'll know everything's
fine.
Yeah. Grant and Danny on the Fan. I hope Terry keeps good track of which foot is
which
hurt.
Ankle is it?
Do we even know for sure? Right or left? I don't even know that anyone's actually tried to corroborate that part.
It's his guaranteed money ankle?
It's the ankle that needs to sign the check, apparently.
It's the term ankle.
He needs a nice bandage with a bunch of cash in it to help that ankle get better. What is it? It's normally like a PRP injection or something?
Yeah, yeah.
An injection of cash.
It's a cash injection platelet. Yeah.
Josh Connerly, rookie offensive tackle. Caught up with him at practice. You'll hear that interview next on Grant and Danny.
With the 29th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Washington Commanders select Josh Connerly, Jr., tackle, Oregon.
Pick 29, you got yourself an offensive tackle. Jaden Daniels, some protection. Laremy Tunsil on one side, Josh Connerly on the other. But will he start in week one? We'll get into that in just a few minutes. Was able to catch up with Connerly. What a guy. I mean, he did one interview after another today and then signed autographs for a long time. It is hot. It's gross. It's sweaty on the practice field. And about an hour and 10 minutes after practice, he still hadn't gotten back into the building yet. This was the rookie tackle after today's workout.
I mean, it's great. At the end of the day, it's just football at the end of the day. But right now, I mean, I'm living the dream. So, I mean, there's nothing much to it.
Expectations compared to reality so far in terms of speed of the game, how difficult a practice is, like all these things that you wouldn't have known but guessed about.
Yeah.
How has that played out?
I know it's hot. That's one thing that I was expecting. But in terms of things that kind of caught me off guard was how many team periods that we don't do, because I feel like at Oregon we constantly did team periods. I mean, same amount of indie that we had at Oregon, but a lot, honestly, a lot less practice. because here we practice for like an hour and a half, hour 45, close to 2 hours. But in Oregon, that it was an hour and a half, 2 hours and a half constantly every day. So it's a little different not having to go for so long, but just constantly just getting it in, getting it in, getting it in. Just getting in, getting out, and we're good.
From that standpoint, and it changes a lot year by year because it's CBA and everything, right, were college practices, because they're longer, harder in that sense, or you wouldn't go that far?
I wouldn't go that far, but I feel like in college it's a lot more quantity over quality, okay, in my opinion. But here it's quality over quantity all day. So like I would say, we're here, you get five reps in a rack, you better make those five reps count, because you don't know if you're going to get another five, you know what I mean? So, but in college, I feel like it's kind of guaranteed in a sense, you know what I mean? But, yeah.
Seems like you've almost exclusively been on the right side, played a little bit on the left maybe, but also first, second team reps. How do you go about, like, not worrying about what team you're practicing with or what side you're on and just getting to work?
I mean, just continue to get better at whatever, wherever they put me. Even if I was guard, I could play center. I mean, wherever, no matter where I'm at, just making sure I'm getting better at that position and making sure I'm doing the best possible to put myself in a great position. So,
are you ready now already for like a preseason game just to go play another team? Or do you still feel like this work, just getting the pads on today, is still like you're not over it yet to the point where you need a game?
Yeah, I mean, you can't just go one day in pads and think you're ready, you know what I mean? So I feel like it's going to take a couple more to feel 100% confident. But at the same time, I mean, I'm ready to go whenever. it don't matter what it is, but yeah.
First round pick Josh Connerly on Grant and Danny. A couple of non-football things for our listeners.
Yeah.
How used to the environment, city now are you? Have you gotten to explore it all and go out and find some restaurants you like, some things you like to do?
I haven't really got to find things I like to do. I've got to get around Ashburn a little bit. Just a little bit. I haven't really found too much.
Are you a homebody generally, or do you like to go out and about?
Yeah, no, I'm usually a homebody. If I have people out here, then I'll get out and try and show them different things. But I haven't had nobody come out here and visit me yet, in terms of family. But yeah.
Are you watching, like, streaming? You like going to the movies? Like, what kind of entertainment do you?
I mean,
take in.
Usually a little bit of both. I've been watching shows recently. I haven't really been into movies a whole lot, but
what are you watching right now?
The Boys. It's on Prime Video. It's a pretty good show. A lot of different turns. Pretty gory. It's interesting.
Are you still on season one?
I'm on season three.
You're binging.
I'm in it for sure. I'm gonna say we in deep, but yeah.
I love that. Last thing, for you. As camp progresses here, what's the number one thing you're working on, feel like is the next area for you to just continue to try to improve your game?
Man, just be my best self. That's it. I mean, there ain't really much else to it but that.
Appreciate you.
Josh Connerly, the rookie offensive tackle at training camp with the Commanders. We had him on the show right after he was drafted. Very personable,
yep,
likable guy. I've been a little bit surprised so far. I don't want this to be the lead to be that he's been bad or anything like that. But I was kind of hoping it would look so natural for him, and pretty clearly he would stand out over Andrew Wiley to the point where I would go, that's your starting right tackle. And we are not there yet, in my opinion. I would say semi-frequently in 11 on 11s, like he's learning a lot, and he is occasionally either getting beat or figuring something out. I'm sure that he needs to do different or better.
Uh-huh.
It just has not
it
gone.
It feels mechanical at this stage, kind of like it's still a learning.
Say this, like for a big athletic guy with good footwork, you would think, he just doesn't seem to be quite as quick as I thought he was going to be. But I want to let it play out. I want to see him in a preseason game. They just got the pads on today. And I haven't spent any time really watching one-on-one stuff because, frankly, I think that's designed for the defensive line anyway. But this is just an 11-on-11. It's just how often do you win and stalemate someone versus lose? There have been a few plays where I noticed, and I'm like, Javon Kinlaw or someone drove him into the backfield or blew up a play or did something that would have cost the team. Now, he's had some good reps too. Like, he had a great rep against Von Miller where he got him turned around at one point with his length. But I was hoping a week into camp that my takeaway would be,
you can't keep this guy off the field.
He's got to start.
Right.
And I don't feel like that. The example I'll give you is like Trey Amos. Every time I watch him, I go, damn, that guy looks good. Or I think that's your starting cornerback. I'd like to see him start opposite Marshon Lattimore. And that's all. It's not even a negative as much as it's not a positive. Like, it's not the takeaway I wanted to have after several practices. But it's early. I think it's unrealistic to expect everyone just hits the ground sprinting. And maybe there's a coach that would tell me, you're crazy. You don't know what you're watching. Like, you don't know what that drill was about. I'm always open to that possibility, too.
Sure.
I just know that after being out there every day but one so far, this second right now, I would assume Andrew Wiley would start at right tackle over him. And maybe you work him in as part of a rotation early in the year, but I don't think he has supplanted him at this point.
Yeah, so this, to me, my hope was that it would be week one, that's it.
You never want it to be obvious.
Yeah, and you never think about it again.
Yes.
Realistically, though, I don't think it's an emergency. I don't think it's a, oh my God, what the hell has happened here? If he takes a month longer and emerges as your starter in week six or something. You know what I mean? Like that, to me, like the point of him is a long-term bookend right tackle. You have the flexibility of a guy that's played multiple positions, was fine at right tackle in that spot. I'd love him to be a right guard, talking about Wiley filling in for Cosmi, but there's talk of Cosmi being back early in the year. So you've got options here where it's not a do or die if Connerly isn't ready for minute one, week one.
The other good thing is they're really protecting Laremy Tunsil, it seems like, where he's gotten multiple vet days in the last handful of days, where he didn't practice in 11s at all.
Mm-hmm.
And when that is the case, and let's face it, what do you need Laremy Tunsil to really show you? As long as he knows the offense,
yep,
you're going to be all right. So when he's out, and that has been the case multiple times, that does give Connerly the chance to get those first team reps, which I think are probably invaluable. Because if Connerly is opposite Tunsil, he might be on the second team, because Wiley might be getting some of those right tackle reps, or probably more of them. But the fact that they've spelled Tunsil as much as they have, and I wonder if that part of it is strategic at all, you're protecting your veteran, which Dan Quinn does very well. Bobby Wagner's a guy I have to imagine they have to like beg not to practice. Today, first padded practice day, first play of 11-on-11, blows up the play, back of the line of scrimmage in the backfield, and he's thumping shoulder to shoulder with a running back, wrapping him up, driving him backwards. Like, more often than not, though, the Von Millers, the Tunsils, they're going to be taking care of those guys. And I do think that's gotten more chances for Connerly to get out there and to run around a little bit. But the line, as they hope that it looks at the start of the season, Tunsil at left tackle, Coleman at left guard has been a mainstay, steady, every day, playing left guard. They haven't moved him around. Tyler Biadasz at center. Cosme's on PUP and is not going to be ready in week one. I know Dan Quinn had this press conference where people took it to mean maybe he'll be ready. I think that's insane. Nick Allegretti likely to start at right guard. And then you'd have Wiley over Connerly for the moment at right tackle. Let's see what happens. We haven't even had a preseason game yet.
Right. Yeah, if we're in November and he hasn't taken over the gig, I'll raise my hand and ask a question.
Oh, I'd be a little bit
right
salty.
Like, I wonder when that is for me, where I'll kind of go, remember this? Remember this was supposed to be a thing? Like, last year I started asking Ben Sinnott questions before Ertz really turned it on, kind of second half, where he was, wasn't just catch and fall guy. It was actually helping the team, getting some first downs, some big fourth downs, and, became kind of a clutch go-to guy. And I put my hand down about my Sinnott questions, but I have them again. Second-round pick. I'd just love to see something. I'd like to know. I'm not panicked by any stretch of imagination about any kind of less-than-stellar report about Connerly just yet.
I just got a tweet from somebody who said, $34.2 million for Terry McLaurin AAV should get the deal done over a three-year deal. Do the Commanders get to say anything about this, or... That's always my favorite thing. It's like when people call in about a trade and they're like, well, we could give them Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt and they could give us TJ Watt. Do the Steelers get to have a say here? Or is it just Washington that gets to make the trade? Because yes, you're right. Terry would accept $34 million a year, $11 million more per year than the guy his age just got from the Broncos. I don't know if Washington's brass wants to give him that contract.
Good deal for Terry, I think, on that one.
That would be a win. Yeah. Buddy Baker, go have yourself a steak and some champagne. Let's go to Drew in Tampa listening on the Always Free Odyssey app. You can listen wherever you are. What's up, Drew?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I love Terry to death, but I am just frustrated by the fact that just because you're up for a new contract because your guaranteed money's run out, that all of a sudden every wide receiver gets to reset the market. Terry is a great wide receiver, but he is not the best wide receiver in the NFL. And I think sometimes we get a little Ashburn syndrome when we talk about players that we love, and Terry's certainly one of them. But you cannot give him $34, $35 million here. Just because the Steelers were silly enough to give DK Metcalf $33 million does not mean that our organization has to do the same. So I think you hold out. I think you keep him. He's under contract. And then, you know, if we have to franchise him twice, do it. And then, you know, adios, Terry. But you can't pay a guy like that top of the market dollars when he is not a game changing wide receiver in any fashion. So,
well, the only problem with that is, and look, I was kind of talking about Terry McLaurin as a really good receiver that we talk about as a top five or seven wide receiver before it was cool. Last year, he was a game changing wide receiver. I'm not telling you he was Ja'Marr Chase. I'm not telling you he's Justin Jefferson, but he was unbelievable last season with the opportunities that he got. The catch and run stuff, that the improvement after the catch, the touchdown totals, the playoff touchdown that he scored. I think everything else about that call actually makes a lot of sense, and I tend to subscribe to almost everything that he said.
Indeed. Yeah, the other argument in the pro-Terry camp certainly is you can take numbers like it's Madden or take numbers like it's fantasy football and assign a round value or a dollar value in an auction league for Terry McLaurin. The what he means here across terrible coaches, joke organization, awful quarterbacks, as bad as it's been, he climbed through the Andy Dufresne tunnel behind Rita Hayworth, right? He did that. And he's here now in the good place, and it's time to reward him, like your best soldier, your example of what the organization is supposed to be. This is a premium being paid for the guy, not just a guy, a collection of numbers and comps. Because I'm with the caller 100%. He is not A.J. Brown or CeeDee Lamb, or you can go down the list of Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, and everyone else that you mentioned. What he is, though, is kind of this special person that is the example that the new regime across a different regime, across another regime, has come in and said, okay, we identify this guy as the example. We're going to hold up to every rookie. Would you like to make the team? Then do what he does. He's your example, so you got to pay a premium for that guy.
I also don't think the team would tag him twice, just to get into the semantics of that for a second. First year, let's say, is 28 and change. Second year is 120% of that.
33.
So it's $33 million. So you're talking about basically $61 million over 2 years. Whereas I think if you offered him $65 million over 3 years right now, he would take, you know, something like that in terms of guaranteed money, not AAV.
Mm-hmm.
But this is guaranteed money that we're talking about. Because the 2 years...
The 65 would be more than Metcalf just got.
Exactly, by $5
million. Mm-hmm.
And now you spread that out over 3 years. You could have a little bit of dead money in the third year, and you still have the power over the player. So 2 at 61 is a way worse team deal than 3 at, I'm just making a number up, but like close to 90 where 60 is guaranteed or mm-hmm. what have you. And you can now move that around and have less dead money in the back end. So I think if they were going to tag him, it's going to be one franchise tag, not two, but we don't have to worry about that just yet. Double play is next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. I watched Happy Gilmore 2 last night. I've been waiting and excited to watch it for several evenings, and I finally got my shot. I'll give you my review coming up in a few moments on The Fan. He's Danny, I'm Grant. This right here. This little guy? I wouldn't worry about this little guy. This is The Fan, driven by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Now's the time for a great deal on a new Honda. Visit your local Washington area Honda dealers today. All right, I'm going to go around the room here. No one will get it until Danny. This little guy? I wouldn't worry about this little guy. What movie, Darius? Dad, I'm coming to you first.
That's a movie.
He's not going to know
it. No chance.
I've got absolutely no file.
You're a ship, Mac.
Ryan, you will not know it.
Big Daddy.
Absolutely amazing. Not. Is Red Rifle in there? Did he run away?
Red
no, he's
Rifle
not gonna know
ran
him.
Away.
Danny?
That is Super Troopers. What is Super Troopers?
I was looking for Super Troopers. The amount of people that just don't watch movies around these parts. I was at lunch today trying to talk about Happy Gilmore 2. Toby just watched Happy Gilmore 1 so that he could watch Happy Gilmore 2. And then Chris Russell goes, I haven't seen the second one. I said, have you seen the first one? And he goes, well, I think
oh
I saw
my
it.
God.
He goes, I saw it once, but it's been a lot of years. I don't really remember it. Well, I'll just sit over here by myself then.
Okay. Let me fold my hands and just wait for the conversation to be over.
Everyone in America is talking about this movie right now. I can't find anybody to talk to about it at lunch. With that in mind, it is time for the double play. Danny Hutae, I'm going to let you go and tell us about your beach trip before we talk a little Happy Gilmore.
All right, we'll do this very quickly. I love it. I was in the Outer Banks. A couple listeners came up while we were on the beach on Sunday.
No way.
Said that they enjoyed the show, and you know, they were surprised to see me because they thought I was on the air. And I said, no, I took Friday off. I'm not delinquent. This was all above board. I didn't just sneak away. But it was a lot of fun. It was perfect. One note, though. I love a place called Sam and Omi's. I'm actually looking for information, okay? My kids wanted to go to Sam and Omi's, which is down in Nag's Head. Iconic place. It's been there forever. It's a little hole-in-the-wall seafood joint. It's usually closed on Wednesdays. We went Sunday for lunch. There was no one in the parking lot, and we're going, oh, my God, this never happens. Like, there's no reservations. You just show up and you sit down and eat, and it's amazing. But it was closed. Not, like, closed for the season. Not like it just said the word closed on it. Like, not like we're closed forever, thanks to our customers for all the years. No indication. The website still says they're open. Sunday during the regular business hours, it was closed. What the hell happened to Sam and Omi's? It was a big dagger of a day. Kind of ruined everybody's mood. We went to Pigman's Barbecue instead, which ended up turning out fine because my youngest son that was with me. He's not my youngest son anymore. He's 7. Anyway, he never had hush puppies before. And he was very excited about that. So it worked out all right. But what happened to Sam and Omi's? Somebody give me the information. I'd find it, Danny.
Take my arm, but don't take Sam and Omi's.
Dude, that place is awesome. You would love it. It's a very Grant type of spot.
Really?
It's super low key.
I'm about to look at the menu.
Everybody is so friendly and nice. Seafood du jour, landlubber stuff too. It is a down home. Everybody calls you sweetie or hun.
Oh, I'm all in.
Yeah, you would love this place.
You had me at hello. All right, it's time for my double play. So got a lot here for you on Happy Gilmore 2. First of all, people that are angry about this movie or talking about how terrible it is need to relax a little bit. What in the hell were you expecting? Do you need this to be an Academy Award winner? Daniel Day-Lewis isn't starring in this thing. This isn't No Country for Gilmore, okay? Mm-hmm. This is Happy Gilmore 2. Everybody settle down. Now, the people that are saying it's the greatest movie of all time, I'd also like you to relax.
They can settle down too.
Just a little bit. Everyone can go to the same room and relax together. It is fine. It is fun. It is entertaining. Again, I'm going to go back to my wedding analogy. I got to sit on one side with the people that like the movie or the people that don't. I'm sitting with the people that like the movie. It preyed on my nostalgia. It brought me back to my childhood. It did a really good job, especially in the first, really in the first act, but the first couple of acts, kind of running back Happy Gilmore 1. I thought the third act, anything involving like the maxi golf, if you've seen this movie, I thought it got sideways and wacky and way over the top and kind of, in some ways, I didn't love that at all. But overall, I thought there were so many good things in this movie that were very, very nostalgia-driven and awesome. And I'm really glad I had the 2 hours and the entertaining time to watch it, and I thoroughly enjoyed myself. Some highlights, without any spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, I don't know what I'm allowed to say and not allowed to say in 2025. So I'm just going to say Julie Bowen is a gorgeous woman. She is one of the most beautiful, naturally just lovely ladies that I've ever seen, and she's aging like fine wine. I hope that I'm not offending anyone. I don't know what
the
I'm allowed to say.
Opinions of Grant Paulson do not reflect those of 106.7, the fan of the Odyssey Corporation.
I love Julie Bowen. I think she is, did I already say it? She's like one of the most beautiful ladies?
You said that.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do I say that again without it getting weird? So, or just, should I just move on now?
I think it is.
I did the part.
Well, people sleep on the fact that she's the original in Happy Gilmore, and then, of course, goes into this huge run on Modern Family.
I think people are well aware.
I think people didn't even realize it was her, really? And now she's still she's throwing fastballs.
Gorgeous on Modern Family. She's such mm-hmm. a good actress, mm-hmm. and she's a great actress in this film.
Mm-hmm.
Travis Kelce, Bad Bunny, all of the people that make cameos. There's over 100 cameos of celebrities, which makes it sound like this is going to be terrible, and you kind of get which, when you're just crowbarring people into the movie, it is what it is. But that makes it fun. Like, oh my God, it's that guy. Oh, I know that person. I love that element of this film. I've never seen more cameos. I thought they did it pretty well, actually. And then there are a few moments where this thing gets amazing. John Daly's character steals the movie, in my opinion. I thought he was hilarious. John Lovitz has a scene in this movie that made me belly laugh. I am a mark. You know this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is about John Lovitz. There's certain people that are just really funny to like individual people and no one else. I am a John Lovitz guy.
You're a John Lovitz guy.
I saw him walking a dog outside the radio station here in the Navy Yard one time. And I thought it was the funniest thing in the world. He had this like tiny little fluffy dog that he shouldn't have been walking. And I came running up here to tell everyone, you're not going to believe this. I was like 2 blocks away and I just saw John Lovitz walking a dog in the Navy Yard. And I met him and talked to him. And Drab's like, yeah, he's coming on the Junkies in like 10 minutes. And I'm like, oh, well, that's way less of celebrity in the wild sighting. But anyway, John Lovitz, man, so funny. And then Will Zalatoris. deep cut here, but do you remember any of this where in Happy Gilmore 1, mm-hmm. he had a cat. He was like the blonde-haired kid that he chokes?
Yeah, okay. The young guy. Yeah, the young kid.
Will Zalatoris, an actual golfer a few years ago, broke out at like the PlayStation Open or one of these tournaments, and he looked exactly like that kid. And everyone's like, oh my God, Will Zalatoris is the Happy Gilmore golfer. And this was like a huge thing for like a year where everyone just called him Zalatoris, right? Or everyone called him the name of that...
whatever the character's name was. Yeah.
Character. Mm-hmm. He plays the grown-up version of that character.
That's great.
And it's just a deep cut, and it's funny. There are little things like that that are very, very good. But enjoyed myself, ate some pretzels, my healthy Copair pretzels.
There we go.
And watched it, and yes. Yes, everyone should enjoy it if you watched Happy Gilmore 1. That is my recap.
Buffalo wings scale, please.
On a Happy Gilmore scale, which is the scale I will be using.
Hmm.
I'll give it 7.5 Happy Gilmore wings. Like on a movie scale?
Give me the movie scale.
I can't have a same scale for Oppenheimer and Happy Gilmore.
Sure you can. How much fun? Like, did you enjoy it?
Stupid comedy scale.
Yeah.
7.5 Buffalo wings.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like you hate it, if that's the case.
He was sitting on that. He was. I was trying to steer him up.
I knew what I was doing.
Yeah.
I mean, no, it's just not a particularly good movie. It's entertaining, but it's not a good movie.
Can I offer you a totally only semi-related nugget that I've been sitting on that I'm obsessed with? You mentioned Travis Kelce's got a cameo. So part of why he was doing this thing was to help promote Happy Gilmore 2, okay? My sons both play Roblox, and there's a game in the Roblox universe called Grow a Garden. You guys, what do you do in the game? You grow a garden. That's the nature of this game. It's got an astounding number of players, more than you can ever imagine. Periodically, they do updates, and the updates are a major deal in this universe where you can get a bone blossom or a fire flower. Some things are made up, some are real, whatever. Travis Kelce hosted an update on Saturday morning. There were 34 million concurrent players while Travis Kelce was hosting this update.
Wow.
34 million people across wherever Roblox is played hopped on to see Travis Kelce do something in this universe. What is happening? The world is so different.
It is.
That's
wild.
What I have for you.
The world is crazy.
That's all I can think about.
By the way, you know who's really good in this movie is 55-year-old Julie Bowen.
Julie Bowen.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. The Beltway Blitz is next.